kids, let's gather around and talk about a Christmas. And I got something, Papa got something I want to share with you. But, you know, first I want to tell you, Mimi and Papa just love it when you come to visit us in our home. You know that. So I want to ask you, have you ever thought about the type of people who come into our home? During this time of year especially, all kinds of people come into our home to visit. We're family and friends and even people we might not expect sometimes. You know, like Great Aunt Sally with her overwhelming perfume and wet kisses. God bless her. We love her anyway, don't we? So, but you know, it makes me think about the time when Joseph and Mary had to go visit his home in Bethlehem and how he and his wife were welcomed. So let's take a look at it here, and I'm going to read out of Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, can you imagine that? Mary and Joseph, with Mary carrying in her tummy the creator, the king of creation, and nobody had room for them? It's good to remember our hearts are as open to the Lord as our homes are open to the hurting and the needy. Okay, let's go see what Mimi's doing, okay? Let's go.
Thanks, Brad. There's a reason why we do this, and I said it last week, is because our intent and our desire is to help us be reminded that what we celebrate that happened 2,000 years ago has an effect on our lives today. And I think all of us in this space would recognize that our homes are the center of our worlds, are they not? I mean, you think about it, that's what you go to, that's where you come from. It's your home where you're safe, you're secure, there's comfort there. It's where the people that you love, you invite into your home. It's where you let people know that they're a part of your lives, right? Like, you bring someone into your house and you say, hey, the refrigerator is yours, right? Like, just get whatever you want. If they're a teenager, you know you're asking for trouble. Right? So you communicate so much, but it's not just that. It's you communicate what you think about other people by your willingness to go into their home and how they invite you into their home. Like, our homes are unbelievably important in our lives, and they communicate a ton about how we view the world around us and the people that we want to care for and how we can be the believers that Jesus Christ has called us to. So our homes are so much more than just the place we should go and then close our garage doors and just be in our own little safe, comfortable places. There's so much more than that. And you might say, well, what does our home have to do with this story? What does it have to do with this moment? Like, isn't this talking about an inn? Isn't this talking about a hotel? Like, let me just do something this morning for us. This image over here of what we would traditionally consider a nativity scene isn't accurate. Okay? Like, it's not accurate. And that's okay. Like, we can all breathe. And, like, I'm going to share some things this morning, not because we want to destroy our traditions and say, well, these aren't good things. Like, number one, like, there was no snow. Okay? And there was no fir trees. Nonetheless, like, the idea and the point of what I want to communicate here in just a moment is not to say that your tradition should be destroyed and you got to get rid of your nativities. Like, if you got those Charlie Brown nativities, keep those. They're like gold. Like, my family wants one. We just haven't gotten one at these points. But you don't throw those away. Keep them. Those traditions are good. They're fine. But they're not accurate. And here's why it's important. It's not important for us to talk about that and complain about it and all that kind of stuff just to so we can be smart people. It's so that we can look at this story and understand what's actually happening. Luke wrote this narrative to communicate some very specific things about the birth of our Lord, to communicate some realities. And if we look at it only through our traditions, right, where, you know, it's a nice wooden stable with the shepherds and the wise men, and they've all come to Jesus, and he's laying in this little manger with hay, and there's this beam of light shining upon him, keeping him warm, and some nice swaddling clothes. Like that's fine, but we miss a whole lot about what God is trying to call us to and communicate to in the book of Luke. And so here's what I want to do. I want to share a little bit about what's really there, and then I'll get to why that's important. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to show you a picture of a first century inn. This is it. Okay? So the one on the right, that's the first century house. Okay, so this is actually a picture it took when we were in Israel this past year. This is not a replication of a first century house. This is a first century house. You say, well, this isn't an inn. Well, here's the thing. That's the point. When they say the inn, that translated word is the Greek word kataluma. Okay, my daughter loves to say this now because she was there and she got to see this. What is a kataluma? A kataluma is simply this. You see this picture on the right. This is what you would see on the main floor, which is the main part of a house in the first century Israel, right, in Judea. And you see this little wall where there's those little coats and stuff, and then there's a little door on the left. On the back side of that wall is this image to the left. That's a kataluma. It's a spare room. Now, here's the deal. Why is this important? And why does it matter to us? Why does it make any difference in the world? Well, here, ask the question, why is Joseph going to Bethlehem from Nazareth? We all know, well, this story tells us because there's a census. Well, why does he go to Bethlehem? Because that's his hometown. Bethlehem is not a city of 5,000 people. It's a tiny little village, maybe 100 people or several hundred people. It's a small town. There isn't a hotel. Who is he going to stay with? His family. That's where they were from. He was going to walk into his family, and the tradition would be is that if you go to that house, you knock on the door, you ask them, hey, I'm here for the census, and they say, oh, great, we've got a spare room for you, a kataluma. You stay in the kataluma. We'll all rest in this main part of the house. This is what it looks like. But that's not what happens in the story, is it? What happens is Joseph and Mary come to this house and they're told there's no room in the kataluma, but you can go into the stable. So where's the stable? Let me show you the next picture. You see another picture. On here on the left, you can see the wall over there on the right and these two little doors down there at the bottom. The stable was underneath the main floor. See, what they did, the livestock, that was the important part of their lifestyle, right? And so at night, they would bring their livestock in underneath the house, underneath the main floor of the house to keep them safe, to keep them protected. Now, it was important to do that at the bottom of the house because those unclean animals that might defile the house, like they wouldn't defile the house at the bedrock. That was a tradition. And so literally what happens is, and just think of this visual image in your mind, okay? Think of this. This over here is what the stable would have looked like. This is what happens. And we don't know exactly, but Joseph and Mary, they hear the census is going on. So he leaves Nazareth to go to his hometown of Bethlehem. And he goes to one of his relatives. We don't know who the relative was. Mom, dad, brother, sister, cousin. The scripture doesn't tell us, but it would have likely been something like this. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, yeah, it's me, Joseph. I'd like to introduce you to my fiance. And the relative looks across Joseph and sees Mary. And what do we see of Mary? She's pregnant. You're not supposed to be pregnant if it's your fiance. Like that's a bad thing. That's a dishonorable thing. You don't want to have an illegitimate child in your house, but yet Joseph is their relative. And they're supposed to, in that society of hospitality, offer him the kataluma, but they go, no, there's no room. But guess what? You can go sit in the stable. You can go with your fiance, your wife, and your baby, and go live down in the basement while you're here with the animals. You know what that's even more important is because had Jesus, in their minds, been born in their house, Jesus would have been considered an unclean child because in their minds, he was not legitimate. He was born outside of wedlock. He was conceived outside of wedlock. They didn't want their home to be considered unclean. And so now, by putting him at the bottom of the house, if she has Jesus, the house isn't going to be considered unclean. Now suddenly, when someone says, sorry, there's no room in the inn, that means a whole lot more now, doesn't it? We want to talk about some awkward family moments. You just imagine this picture going forward, you know, whether it's his cousin or whoever it is, Joseph saying, yeah, I know this is Mary and I know she's pregnant, but an angel came and visited us. He came and visited me and said that actually this baby is God. And he came and visited Mary and said, this is the Messiah. Oh, okay, Joseph, we have a stable for you. Like, Luke is trying to communicate something very real here, which is even though the people had been told what was going on, they weren't willing to believe that. They weren't willing to acknowledge that. Here's the whole point. Joseph's family, whoever they are faced with the opportunity to hear the proclamation of the hope that God had through the angels, through the mouth of Joseph and Mary. They had the opportunity to engage this, to see that they had been visited, and to share with them this unbelievable truth that the long-awaited hope of the world, the Messiah, was inside her womb. They could have believed it. They could have embraced this couple and allowed them not only to take the cataluma, but say, no, we'll go stay in the spare room, you get the main floor, because the king is in you. That's not what they said. That's not where their hearts were. They were too worried about their tradition, the idea of uncleanliness. They were looking at this young girl who was pregnant and going like, no, we don't want to have anything to do this. And they missed with the opportunity to have the king, the one who would actually be able to remove all their uncleanliness, be born in their home. This is what's happening in this story. And so what does this have to do with us? What does it have to do with our lives in this moment? It ultimately comes down to this. It forces us to ask a question, a couple of questions. Is there room in your inn? Is there room in your inn? What would you have done? What would you have said to this young couple? What would you have allowed for him to come into this space? And even more, let's break that down into two other questions. One very specific one. Do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for Jesus to come into your life? I want to talk to those in this room that you've gone after Christmas, after Christmas, after Christmas, and if you heard the story that Jesus has come, that the Messiah has come, that the Son of God has come, that God is with us, and year after year after year, you say, oh, that's nice, but you've got all kinds of reasons to say, I don't believe that. I don't believe it to be true. There's no way that could happen. That's all just a myth. That's not reality. That's not right. There's no room for him in my life. I don't want a king. I don't need a king. Listen, if that's you in this space, I just want to let you know the king has come whether you acknowledge him or not. The king was there. Whether Joseph's family wanted to acknowledge him or not, the king was present and they sent him to the stable. Like, it doesn't matter what you think to be true. The fact is, the king came. The king came. And the question for all of us is, every year, every day, every moment, is there room for the king? Will you step off the throne of your own life and let the king reign? Is there room in your inn? Is there room for Jesus? He was there, they just didn't recognize it. See, if they had recognized it, they'd have said, come in and take it all. It's all yours. Not only is there room for you, but you have it all. My house is yours. I think there's another chance for a lot of us. We would say simply, okay, well, we don't want to say there's no room for Jesus in my life, so I'll let you into my life, but go down to the stable. Go down to the basement. See, here's the thing. I think a lot of us, we want a Savior to come and to give us hope. We want a Savior to come and give us salvation from our sins, but we don't want a king. We don't want someone to come and say, like, I'm here to lead you forward. I'm here to take you forward. We'd rather say, well, here, you can have this aspect of my life, and you can have this aspect of my life, but I don't want you in the main part. I don't want you in my master bedroom. I don't want you in my living room. I don't want you messing around in my refrigerator. I'm holding that stuff to me. See, that's a challenge, isn't it, for us? See, is there room in our lives for Jesus? It's not simply about a baby coming in and trying to get a warm space. It is about a king who is coming to establish his reign, a reign that he rightly deserves, a reign that he will take to himself. See, Scripture says very clearly, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every single one of us, we're going to come to that day. And in this moment, can you imagine what this family recognized when they finally came to see who Jesus really was? We put him in the stable. Does any of us want that shame? I don't think so. I think we want to say, King, come, take it all. Take it all. Have my house, have my table, have my room, have my bed, have it all. There's room for you. There's room for you in my home. Next question is this. Do you have room for the least of these? And you say, well, how do we get to this question? Do you have room for the least of these? Isn't this who Jesus came to? I mean, did he not come into the home of the least of these? Every season, like you might be, I mean, just think about your house. Who are the people that you wouldn't want to come into your house? Who are the people that you say, no, I don't want them in my house because they're not like me? Who would Jesus want you to open your doors to? Who is he willing to come to? Do you have room for the least? See, part of realizing that God came to be with us is not only us saying, come, take the main seat at the table, but also saying, who would you like me to invite to your table? We give him our table. We give him our home. We say, who do you want to bring in? Who do you want to come into the house? I think this is one of the greatest obstacles for the world, because we can say all day long, we love the world, we love the lost, we love the dirty, the broken, the sick, the blind, but then we don't bring them in our home. We say, we're gonna keep you at arm's length, and they said, they see that, they know that. You say, you talk to us about love, but you don't bring me into your house. You don't bring me into your home. You say there's no room for you, but Jesus came. Jesus came to the least. Over and over again, not only that, but Jesus came and said there's room for those people, did he not? Who are those people in your mind? I mean, we all have them. Like, who are those people? This is what Jesus says, though, in Matthew 25:40. He says, the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Like, at Christmas, it can be hard because I'm guessing we all have someone who we kind of hope turns down our invitation. Have you ever been there? Let me just be real honest. Like, I felt this even this past week. There was a young man that was reaching out to and sharing the gospel with, and connected with him on Facebook, and I wanted to invite him into our home. This is not someone that, let's just be honest, like it's not someone that I would typically want in my house. It's the kind of person that, in all honesty, you kind of concern yourself with what they might say to your kids or what your kids might see in them. But I felt like, okay, to be obedient to the Lord, I'm gonna invite them over, I'm gonna try to connect with them. And I felt the sense of relief when they didn't accept my friend request on Facebook. Have you ever been in that spot? You go, man, I'm glad they didn't come. I don't have to have them in my house. Now, this is the point. Like, who are we bringing into our homes? Do you have room for the least of these? Do you have room for the least of these at your tables and around your chairs and around your Christmas tree? Because that's the whole point of Christmas, isn't it? Who are those people? And do you have room for them? Joseph's family didn't have room for those people. You realize Mary was one of those people. They looked at Mary and saw a young girl who was immoral and ungodly, who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and they would have had nothing to do with her. She was one of those people, and God was in her. That should hit us. The next major question that I want to ask is, whose home will you visit? See, it's not just about whose home will you, who will you bring into your home, but whose house will you go visit? Who will you go to? Like, is this not the whole point of Christmas? God with us, Emmanuel. He could have required that he was born in a palace. He could have required that he was born to a king or to a queen, or that he was born into the most luxurious and comfortable space. He could have required that he was born to the high priest family and raised in the temple. That's not who he was born to. He was born to a young girl who was nobody in a nobody town called Nazareth, or growing up in a nobody town called Nazareth, born in a nobody town called Bethlehem, in a stable. And it wasn't a comfy wood one. We're talking stone. The king of the universe was in the basement, laid into a stone manger. That's what he was born to. He was willing not only not only is he saying, come, let the least of these into your house, but he was willing to come into the home of the least of these. Are we willing to do the same? Whose home will you visit? Whose home will you go to? Like, don't we love to go to the houses of the rich and the famous? Well, think about it. Don't you love to be invited into the home that's someone that's equal level with you, or someone who's even higher level than you? Like, isn't that enjoyable? But are you willing to go to the less than? Are you willing to go to the home of the less than? Are we not easily tempted to turn up our noses to the house of the one whose life doesn't have it all together? To the house of the one who, maybe they don't clean like we do. Maybe they don't look like we do. Maybe they don't love Jesus like we do. Are you willing to go into the house of the one where maybe there's drugs or alcohol or movies you would never watch? Or you say, no, I don't want to go to the least of these. Do you see how when we say that, we're actually not being anything like Jesus? Jesus came to the least. He came to the least of us. I believe this is in every single one of us. We want to be in the homes of everyone who's more than us in our eyes, but we don't want to be in the house of someone who's less than us in our eyes. This is the part of the beauty of Christmas. The one who sits upon the throne of the universe, the one who is more than all of us could ever hope to be, like we talked about last week, has stooped to those far less than he is. And he did it with joy. He did it with joy. And he didn't just come to the less than, he came to the sinner. I love reading about Jesus' life because he never once recoils from the grossest, most vile sinners. But aren't we tempted to? Aren't we tempted to look at the vilest of sinners and think, oh, I don't want to be around them? That wasn't Jesus. He went with them. He sat with them. He ate with them. He went into their homes. He not only invited them to himself, but he went to them. Listen, I think about this season, and I'm convicted of the reality of it, that if certain people invited me to their home, I would try to do everything I could to avoid going. Going to that certain part of town, into that house. The whole point of this is this. As we think about what Christ has done, and we think about what God has done in Christ, and we think about who we are as people, I want us to recognize as we come to this season that God himself came to the least. He came to the most vile. And even though millions of people over the ages have said, man, listen, I'm sorry, but there's no room for you here. I don't want you here. I mean, can you imagine saying that to, I don't know, some celebrity where you say, nope, sorry, you can't stay in my house. And from decades and millennia, millions of people have said, I don't care that you're God. I don't care that you're king. I don't care that you sacrificed. I don't care that you died for me. There's no room for you. And yet, he did it anyway. It didn't stop him. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it didn't stop him? Aren't you glad he came anyway? Aren't you glad he was willing to step into your house? Aren't you glad he was willing to step into your life? Your rebellious, dirty, gross life prior to him? Like, aren't you glad? I am. I mean, can you imagine the creator of the universe right now coming and knocking on your door? Would you not be shocked? Like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here in my house? Would you not fall upon your face and say, wait, don't come in. My house is too messy. My kids were home this week, right? They've destroyed it. It's too poor. I don't want you in here. Would you not be afraid that he might find something that would embarrass you? Would you not be afraid that maybe he would see that you're not really the Facebook persona that you want everybody to think you are? Listen, that's exactly what he did, isn't it? And he did it out of love. He did it to give us hope. He did it to give us life. And he knows it. He knows it all. It's the beauty of this. There's nothing that you can hide from him. He knows the darkest moment, and he wants to be in your home. And he doesn't just want to be in your home. He wants to rule in your home. He wants to rule in your life. And the question that Christmas poses is there room in your inn? In your Cataluma, is there room? I love Mary. She's such an example, I think, for all of us. I mean, imagine what this news meant to her when the angel comes and says, hey, listen, you're going to have a baby. Okay, well, explain that to me. And by the way, it's going to be before you're married. And it's going to be when you're a virgin. In her mind, she would know that everyone from that moment would question her morals, her faithfulness. They would look at her with a glare of disgust. Look at this woman coming. She had a baby before she was married. And can you believe that Joseph actually took her? And she knew that's what was coming for her. And listen to her response in Luke 1:38. This is the response of someone who has room. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed. Translated for us, okay, no matter what it costs, no matter what people think of me, there's room for you. I'm yours. Rule in my life. Maybe you wouldn't say that. Maybe you would. I don't know. But the question is there room in your life? And so here's what I want to do as we close, because I think it's really important for us to think about how does it affect this world. And I hope that you ask the question that one, it asks the question is like, does he really rule in your house? Have you really said to the king, there's room for you? Not just in the basement, but to have it all. And are you then asking the question, who do you want me to bring into my home? Who do you want me to bring into your home, king? And then ask the question, really, like, as you look at your home, who are you willing to leave your home for? Are you only willing to go to the nice houses? Are you only willing to go to the nice people? Are you only willing to go to the clean people, the ones who look like you? Or are you going to go to the ones who look nothing like you? Like, this is the question of Christmas. And as we end our time, I just want to spend a few moments and call us to a time of response. And I simply would ask that you would just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And at this time, I want to go ahead and invite prayer counselors, if you would come up to the front and just be prepared to receive people for prayer, to talk. But I want to just pose a couple of things to you. I would ask, if you have gladly said to Jesus, come and take it all, I'm going to simply ask you the question, does he rule everything? Like, if you're in the room and you've given Jesus, you've said, yes, Jesus, come into my home. Did you say, come into my home, but here's where I draw the line? Or did you say, I'm all yours? I'm everything is yours. Rule, be the king. You have everything. My table is yours. My home is yours. My life is yours. My money is yours. I would just simply ask you to think about those areas where you say, come in, but don't go there. I don't have room for you there. And I would just simply to ask you to confess that before him this morning. That as you celebrate this Christmas season, you recognize every time you think about what he's done for us, that he's come to this space to be here with us, that you would ask that question, is there places I don't want him? And then I want to ask this question for you. Who can you bring to the table of your home? Who can you bring into your home so that they might see the king at the head of your table? This season, who can you invite into your space? The broken, the least of these, the hurting. Maybe it's a family member you haven't talked to for years. Maybe it's a son or a daughter who is stuck in immorality. Maybe it's a friend that you know that doesn't know Christ. Maybe it's someone you met at the store. Maybe it's someone you're gonna meet at the store this week. Will you invite them into your house? And then whose table could you go to be present at? Who are you pouring into in your life in a way that they might actually invite you to their home? These are important questions for us. Will it be a neighbor, a strange, scary-looking waitress or waiter, a person that gives you your coffee in the morning? Will you invite them to his table? And then finally this, if you are in this room this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to hear this. The king has come, whether you recognize him or not. And there is a day that every single knee will bow to that king, whether you want it to or not. But he's inviting you to bow and submit your life to him, that you might find life now. That he might come in and lead you to life, that he might show you the way, that he might show you the truth. And that's what Christmas is about. Like, he came to us to do that. And if that's you this morning, I'm gonna ask you just to do something. If you have responded in some way, or you feel there's something, I'm just asking, I want everybody's eyes closed. I don't want anybody looking around. Would you just raise your hand? I'm not gonna make you stand up. We're not gonna do anything, but would you just raise your hand so we know that we can pray for you? If there's any area of your life that you feel like you need to lay before him, that you have kept to yourself, or maybe you haven't given yourself to Christ. Father, I just want to thank you for the fact that you came. I'm thankful that you came into our lives as broken as they are. You stepped out of heaven. And you've given us the opportunity to invite you into our homes, into our lives. You've given us the opportunity to give you what is rightfully yours, which is reign over everything. Father, I want to pray this morning that for those of us that are here, that we would see our homes in a different way this season. That we would see our homes as a tool for you to use for the furthering of your kingdom. I wanna pray, Father, you would help us to see those prejudices that are inside of us that would make us say, I don't wanna be in that house. I don't wanna be with those people. And that, Father, you would convict our hearts of that. And then instead of that feeling, you would give us a heart of compassion and love and a reminder that that's exactly what you've done for us. I wanna pray for those this morning that maybe wanna place their faith in Jesus this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just give them a boldness to want to talk to someone, to let us walk with them in that journey. Father, I pray these things in your name, and I would ask, church, if you would please just stand with me. And I wanna just close us with this, and if you were in this space and you raised your hand and you wanna talk with somebody this morning, our prayer counselors, elders, pastors, they're gonna be up here at the front ready to receive you, to talk with you, pray with you. We want to be present with you. You have an opportunity to respond to the King. And I just wanna challenge you with that reality that think about Peter's family. What they missed out on by saying there's no room. And we don't wanna miss out on that. What an opportunity it is for us to come and to see the King and let the King have his rightful place in our lives that we might be led into life. Why would you resist that? Why would you resist God with us when he has come to be present? I just want to encourage you this morning in everything that you do this season to be about those things, to be reminded about those realities in our lives. And as you go out this morning, don't forget about our Christmas program tonight where we get to come and celebrate that. We get to come rejoice in that. Don't forget about the opportunities to pray for the ministry of His Helping Hands where we can reach out to the least of these. Don't forget about the petition where we can cry out for the least of these with our voices. And don't forget about the people that you will rub shoulders with that maybe in the past you would have recoiled a little bit from. It's an opportunity for you to be Christ for them and invite them into your life. Step into their life the way he has. And I pray that he would encourage you in that. I pray that he would give you the strength to do that. Father, as we close our time, may you give us that. May you give us as your people, as we go out of this place this morning, hearts of compassion. Father, may you give us your heart to see those around us who are not like us and that don't know you, that are walking in darkness. And Father, may you give us a desire, a passion to share the light of Christ, of your Son with them. Father, help us to be gentle. Help us to be loving. But Lord, help us to be bold. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us in this room would walk out of here saying there's room for you. There's room for the King. And Father, with that we pray, amen. God bless. We hope to see you next week.